The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. here at CNBC Global Headquarters. I'm Frank Holland, and here is your 5 at 5. We begin with tech taking a tumble. One of the hottest stocks on the street sees its worst day in almost a year, giving investors just a sneak peek at what a real-time Magnificent Seven meltdown could look like. This morning, futures are fighting for gains ahead of a key inflation report later this week, with the major averages hovering just below their record highs. We're also getting set for one of the largest IPOs of this year, reportedly set to kick off its roadshow for Wall Street this week. We're going to tell you what investors need to know. Plus, new details out for President Biden's budget proposal just days after signing a bill to keep the U.S. government funded for at least a few more weeks. And then later, a big win for streamers as Peacock and Universal, they grabbed the spotlight in last night's Academy Awards. It's Monday, March the 11th, 2024. You are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange. Thank you so much for being here with us. Let's kick off the hour with a check of U.S. stock futures. After a lower session on Friday, this saw the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. Both of them hit record highs before they ended the day in the red. Take a look right here. You can see futures a bit mixed. The NASDAQ just peeking into positive territory just a few moments ago, up fractionally higher, but it looks like the Dow would open up 70 points lower. Investors, they're gearing up for a busy week for the consumer with a number of high-profile retail names set to report. That includes department store Kohl's, Ulta Beauty, and Dick's Sporting Goods. Also, the big event on tap, February CPI, that's out tomorrow before the opening bell. So ahead of that release, we are checking the bond market with yields at their lowest level in more than 1 month. Take a look. The benchmark right now coming in at 4.07%. We're also seeing the 30-year, the long bond, a read on inflation expectations come in at just about 4.25%. We also have to talk about precious metal. We're talking gold. It continues to trade at a record high. You can see this morning down fractionally. So just a tick off that record high, but still right now trading at 2180 basically an ounce. We'll continue to watch gold throughout the morning. And we're also watching what a lot of people like to call digital gold, if you like that term, Bitcoin, after hitting 70,000 Friday for the first time ever. You can see right now pushing itself to new highs, up 2.5%, basically trading at 71,000, almost 250, just a couple bucks under 71,250 this morning. We'll also watch this. You got to look at this right here. Bitcoin over the last year rising almost 250%. Okay, that is your morning money set up now. We're going to turn our attention back to stocks and the big culprit in Friday's market loss. That was Nvidia. Shares were up more than 5% in early trading before sharply changing course to close down more than 5.5%. So the last time Nvidia had an intraday swing of at least 10%, that was all the way back in June of 2017. And it was not the market mover it is today. The stock's risen about 2,000% since then. Nvidia also suffering its biggest single day percentage decline since May of last year. And shares, well, you can see right now, they're moving just fractionally or up about 1% higher this morning in the pre-market. Other AI-related stocks that fell Friday, they continue to feel pressure this morning. We're talking names like AMD, Taiwan Semi, ARM, and Supermicro. They were all in the red. Right now, we're seeing a bit of a change here. ARM, basically flat. AMD, Advanced Micro, moving just fractionally higher. All right. So some traders are calling the move, when it comes to Nvidia and the markets, exhaustion. And the explosive positive momentum for chip makers seems to be just a bit unhealthy. Joining me now for much more is Gina Sanchez, CEO of Chantico Global, chief market strategist at Lego Advisors, and of course, a CNBC contributor. Gina, good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right, so help us make sense of all this. We have a big momentum trade on Wall Street, but we saw Nvidia close the day in the red. At the same time, we saw the NASDAQ briefly hit an intraday high before closing lower. What does this all mean for the strength of that momentum trade and the strength of the rally overall?
Well, if you look year to date, there's no question that NVIDIA has been a massive part of what is happening in the market. And the market dynamics are being driven by three stocks, effectively NVIDIA, Meta, and Microsoft. And on the downside, by Tesla and Apple. So those five stocks explain most of what's happened over the past year to date. However, if you look just in the last month, and in fact, week by week, you see that the market itself has been broadening. And so, yes, NVIDIA is definitely a huge contributor to what happens. It is actually becoming less and less of a contributor modestly, and that's healthy for the market.
All right, so you're saying it's becoming less and less of a contributor. There is some evidence to that. Last week, we definitely saw a rotation. The Russell hit a 52-week high. Utilities, the best performing sector, that's a classic defensive trade. If we continue to see this weakness in NVIDIA, do you expect to see more of investors going towards this more defensive trade?
Well, I think it's a couple of things that are going to feed that. One is the outlook for when the Fed is going to cut. Two, the outlook for inflation that will feed that. And finally, what happens with growth. And at the moment, you know, economists have upgraded their expectations for growth up to 2.1%, which is pretty good. It's a pretty much a soft landing. It's as soft as you can get. If that comes to pass, I think that the world is a very different place than the world we were in. However, if the Fed decides to wait on their cut, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty still in the market. So that defensive trade could start to take hold. But the market itself is broadening.
You know, you talk about some of the uncertainty. I feel like a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, we felt like inflation was definitely on the right track. Then we heard Jay Powell say, well, it seems like it's on the right track, but they need to see more evidence. And now you're in the camp of believing that we're going to see a slightly hotter than expected inflation report tomorrow. So if we do get a hotter than expected inflation report, what happens then?
Look, I think that the market will get a little more defensive, without a doubt. If we see, we already saw a hotter than expected PPI, and expectations for CPI went up dramatically after that. They've basically been range bound all year. Economists thought we were falling, and then they thought we would go back up. The expectation now for end of year is 2.7%, which means that we could easily get a hotter than expected number in the next inflation print. If that's the case, Powell is going to move slowly, and the market has already finally come back to thinking that three rate cuts now are in the you know up for this year. That was down from six, which is what we believed at the beginning of the year. And if that is potentially threatened to be even less than that, okay, then we could see the markets just continue to wonder about whether or not 23 times PE makes any sense.
All right, sounds like you say a lot hinges on tomorrow's CPI. We'll have to wait and see. Gina Sanchez, great to see you. All right, time now for a check of some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau is here with those. Silvana, good morning.
Hey, Frank, good Monday morning to you. Well, the roadshow for Reddit's closely watched New York Stock Exchange debut reportedly set to kick off today. The FT, among those reporting, the company plans to price its IPO on March 20th and start trading the following day. Now, the report adds the company is targeting between $31 and $34 a share. That's a range that would value the company as much as $6.5 billion. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice is reportedly launching a criminal investigation into Boeing and its door plug blowout. According to the Wall Street Journal, investigators have already contacted some passengers and crew, including pilots and flight attendants who were on that January 5th Alaska Airlines flight. Boeing declined to comment to the journal. The DOJ did not immediately reply to a request for comment. And Universal Pictures' Oppenheimer winning Best Picture and six other Oscars in last night's 96th Academy Awards, which also included Best Director Christopher Nolan and Best Actor Cillian Murphy. Nolan had been nominated five times for writer or director, but had never won. Emma Thomas, his wife and producer, accepted the Best Picture prize, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much. We'll see you just a bit later in the show. All right, turn our attention now to Washington, D.C., and a news alert. President Biden's 2025 budget proposal set to be released today, and this morning we're learning some of what's expected. According to the White House, the budget aims to lower costs for Americans in terms of child care, prescription drugs, and other areas. It also includes initiatives to boost manufacturing and create jobs around clean energy. And the administration is also looking to reduce the federal deficit by $3 trillion over the next 10 years by raising taxes on large corporations and having billionaires pay a minimum tax rate of 25%. We'll have a lot more on that coming up later in the show. And we have a lot more to come here on Worldwide Exchange, including the one word that investors have to know today. But first, the White House looking to expand American influence in China's backyard with a visit by a high-ranking administration official this week. Our Eunice Yoon reports live from Manila coming up next. Plus, the key numbers investors should look out for when Oracle reports after the bell today. And later, much more NVIDIA's stock slide and why our next guest says parabolic charts, they often end badly. A very busy hour still ahead when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Taking a look at U.S. stock futures ahead of the open. Right now, it looks like the Dow would open about 70 points lower than NASDAQ, firmly in the green, as the S&P basically flat right now. We're also looking at the pre-market gainers on the S&P. Right there at the top of the list, Albemarle, a commodity producer of things like lithium, up more than 3%, followed by Linde PLC. NVIDIA in third place, seeing a rebound from its big fall on Friday. We'll talk more about that later in the show, but NVIDIA up 1.5%. We're also checking the overseas action. We're going to start off in Europe, taking a look. Europe in the red across the board. The German DAX down almost 0.75%. The FTSE fractionally lower, basically flat right now. And a bit of a mixed session in Asia to start the week, with Japan closing more than 2% lower after the country avoided a technical recession in the final 3 months of 2023, possibly paving the way for its central bank to begin raising rates, something we've talked quite a bit about on the show. Over in China, we're seeing the Hang Seng and also the Shanghai Composite both higher. Chinese CPI surprising to the upside, given a boost to stocks in that area. All right, we're going to stick with the overseas action. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo is leading a high-level trade delegation to Southeast Asia this week as President Biden looks to boost America's influence right in China's backyard. Raimondo's first stop is the Philippines, which has clashed with Beijing over territorial rights. Our Eunice Yoon joins us now from Manila with much more on the story. Eunice?
Thanks so much, Frank. Well, Secretary Raimondo just wrapped a press conference at the hotel behind me moments ago. Earlier today, she had met with the president, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., as well as his top economics and trade secretaries. She is here to promote the Biden administration's foreign policy aims to solidify American influence in the region, as well as to friendshore, and that is secure supply chains through economic engagement. Now, she had said with the president that the U.S.-Philippine relationship is ironclad, while President Marcos described the U.S. as an essential ally. This is what they had to say.
We've done so much together, and the best is yet to come. And that economic security will, as you always say, economic security is national security. And so by accomplishing a deeper economic relationship, it'll make our countries more secure as well.
The United States is an essential strategic trading and investment ally for the Philippines. In the coming months, I hope that we will be able to see our shared commitments come to fruition, driving robust economic growth, because after all, an economically strong Philippines is a formidable ally.
What wasn't mentioned publicly, though, Frank, is China, its rising influence, and the U.S.'s efforts to counter it. Secretary Raimondo is here with 22 companies, including some big U.S.-listed ones, and said that she's and announced about a $1 billion investment in the Philippines.
So, Eunice, you said a $1 billion investment in the Philippines. What else can you tell us about these deals that might come from this $1 billion investment?
Well, the deals are, interestingly, are in areas that the Philippines find important and are strategic to their goals, such as semiconductors, for example, renewable energy. She also had mentioned that there's been a lot of investment into jobs training in EVs, as well as other assembly makers for the chip industry. So a lot of different areas in which these companies are exploring at the moment, and she described this as just the beginning.
Our Eunice Yoon live in Manila. Eunice, thank you very much. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, a show of confidence as OpenAI welcomes Sam Altman back to its board of directors, hopefully putting its very brief ousting in the rearview mirror. Much more on that story coming up after the break.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. We are watching shares of Oracle ahead of earnings after the close today. They're up fractionally right now. The company's revenue is expected to rise after missing expectations for the past two quarters. Investors will also be on the lookout for updates on data center expansion, artificial intelligence, of course, and a potential cloud market slowdown. Joining me now is one of those investors, James Demert. He's the Main Street Research, the chief investment officer of Main Street Research, I should say. He owns Oracle for several clients. James, always great to see you.
Good morning, Frank.
All right, so we just talked about it. Shares are up a bit ahead of the open, earnings after the bell. The street has a buy on Oracle, price target of 125. What are you looking for? You say this is a really crucial quarter for the company.
Yeah, we think it's a very crucial quarter. You know, they've overpromised and underdelivered, if you will. And I think that's what's going to cause investors to be lose confidence if they can't meet these numbers. So we're going to be looking at some very specific metrics from Ellison and Katz. And one of those, I think where they missed last time, was really the revenue from the cloud offering, for sure. It's an AI tech-led race.
Right.
And then at the same time, the expense side of the equation is important because they're trying to build out this data center. So they're sort of, you know, there's a challenge there, but they definitely have overpromised. And I think that's why investors are disappointed up until now.
So let's talk about the cloud business. The estimate has it rising by 11% year over year. I mean, there is growth there, but in your mind as an investor, is there enough growth? Because you have to remember, Oracle was really the first company to highlight a partnership with NVIDIA AI capabilities. But the monetization, I talked to a private equity firm. They said right now we're in the monetization phase. What companies can monetize all this talk?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Frank. And you know, what we're looking for is, you know, that cloud growth number to be very significant this quarter. You know, enough is not, you know, in this market, you know, AI tech-led bull market, you really want to be with the winners. And they've seemed to have a hard time monetizing in those last two quarters. So I think, again, this is the show me the money quarter. We're going to be listening to Ellison and Katz very closely.
All right. Speaking of showing me the money, you just mentioned something, CapEx, the build out of data centers. So the estimate is for their guide, I should say, for the full year is about $8 billion in CapEx. Right now, the estimates are for about $5.3 billion in CapEx for the second half of the year. Barclays out with a great note saying CapEx is really the only thing that matters, because the higher CapEx they guide, that implies that they have revenue coming in that's going to justify it. Do you agree with that? Do you need to see a big commitment to CapEx to have confidence in this stock going forward?
You know, I see what they're saying, but, you know, that's been the stock and the company's problem for the last two quarters, is say it's on its way. You know, here it comes. But every time they report, it's not there. And again, this is an AI tech-led bull market, and there's companies monetizing significantly faster. So even as a shareholder, again, I want to make sure that monetizing machine, if you will, is really up to speed this quarter. Otherwise, it's sort of like, promise me this quarter, promise me next quarter. And lots of other companies are nailing it. So I think investors, you know, really want to listen closely to this. I think if they nail it, the stock's attractive. It's got a great upward trajectory from here. If they don't, I think it's a trading range stock.
Yeah, I know you think it's also an attractive AI play when it comes to forward PE, trading about 19 times forward PE. But again, you say this is a show-me quarter. James Demert, really great to see you. Thank you very much. All right, coming up, it's fundamentals versus technicals as we look at Apple's worst seven-day stretch since 2022, NVIDIA's worst session since May, and a preview of what a mega cap meltdown would look like in real time. Also, as CNBC celebrates Women's Heritage Month, we are sharing the stories of some of our newly named CNBC Changemakers, an annual list of 50 women who are innovating and transforming business. As we head to break, here's National Women's Soccer League Commissioner Jessica Berman.
At the age of 16, my career ambition, career goal was to be a commissioner of a professional sports league. So I feel really proud that I was able to achieve that. Our league is at this extremely pivotal and transformative moment where the world is recognizing the value of women. And I'm just really humbled and appreciative of the opportunity to be able to shine a light on our league and everything that we've achieved to date and what's to come.
It is right around 5:30 a.m. in the New York City area, and there's a lot more ahead here on Worldwide Exchange. Here's what's still on deck. Stocks looking to shake off a losing week despite the major averages testing new highs. The key reports in the days ahead that could decide where stocks are heading next. Shares of NVIDIA looking to turn things around after suffering its biggest single-day percentage decline in just about a year. Could the steep selling be a signal of a larger unwind of the momentum play? And the White House releasing the president's latest budget proposal as the Biden administration looks to squeeze more money from corporations and billionaires for its agenda. It is Monday, March the 11th, 2024. You are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Collins. Get you ready for the trading day ahead. We're going to pick up the half an hour with a check of U.S. stock futures. Stocks are coming off a negative finish on Friday after the NASDAQ and the S&P. They both hit record highs earlier in this session. Take a look. Kind of a mixed picture right now. Looks like the Dow would open up about 70 points lower, open 70 points lower, I should say. I know some people on Twitter have been saying, don't say open up lower. Also, we're looking at the S&P right now, basically flat, fractionally higher. The NASDAQ's really doing the best right now out of all of them. We're also checking the bond market with yields at their lowest level in more than 1 month. Take a look. We're going to start with the benchmark at 4.07%. Right now, the long bond, a read on inflation expectations, basically at 4.25%. And we're also watching Bitcoin hitting a fresh all-time high like right now. Take a look. Trading at basically 71,000, just over 650. Look at that. Remember, it trades around the clock, up about 3% right now, just over 3%. So again, Bitcoin hitting a new all-time high literally as we speak. And we're also watching crypto stocks, tracking them. They're moving in tandem right now. Coinbase up almost 6.5% down here. MicroStrategy up over 7.5%. Marathon Digital up just about 6.5%. So broadly, we're seeing crypto move higher in the pre-market. Okay, that's your morning money setup. Now we're going to turn our attention back to our top market story as we watch shares of Apple. They're moving higher in the pre-market after Friday's stock pop, one that snapped a seven-session losing streak, its longest since late January of 2022. NVIDIA also looking to turn things around this morning after a brutal Friday that saw shares close down more than 5.5%. That's their worst day since May. The stock also coming off a monster day in terms of volume, more than doubling its 30-day average, with more than 110 million shares trading hands, showing the selling happening with some conviction. Could this be a short-term move, or as our resident CNBC market guru Mike Santoli writes on CNBC.com, could NVIDIA's terrible Friday just be a preview of what a momentum unwind would look like? Joining me now with his technical take is Craig Johnson, chief market technician at Piper Sandler. And with a fundamental look is Clio Capital Managing Director Sarah Kunst. Great to have you both here. Sarah, good morning. I'm going to start things off with you. How should we view everything that we're seeing when it comes to NVIDIA and Apple? The momentum trade, has it stalled out or is something else happening? What's your take?
I'll start with NVIDIA. The reality is that in the first 10 weeks of this year, they're up over a staggering 81%. And then on Friday, they were down 5%. And so, you know, the math on that is still pretty darn good. I like NVIDIA. I think it's overbought. I think it's overpriced, but I like it. It's a solid company. And just because it has some of that meme stock velocity doesn't mean that it's actually a company that doesn't have the fundamentals. It's real tech. They have real leadership. And I think that even if some of those bigger funds that have bought in over the last year and a half are locking in their gains, there's still a ton of retail investors who are excited to get into the market, and it's still a good company.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about the fundamentals in a minute. Craig, I'm going to come over to you. I want to get the technical take of what we're seeing. In your mind, when it comes to the momentum trade, the action that we saw on Friday, did that change the narrative when it came to the momentum mega cap tech trade?
You know, Frank, I think it's starting to change. I was just looking at the price action. It was a big outside day on NVIDIA last week. And then if you look at the long-term chart, Frank, this is your classic definition of a parabolic chart, meaning that it's pretty much just going straight up. The stock is up over 679% since the October 22 lows and over 400% if you look at it from the October 23 lows, Frank. And at this point in time, it's 5% and change of the overall index, but it's gone parabolic. People are going to have to do some rebalancing. And as that action happens, you can certainly lose some of the momentum. I think it's a great company, but it's sort of a dangerous stock to be jumping into after moves this large in such a short period of time, Frank.
All right, so you say it's a dangerous stock to jump into, but in your mind, from a technical perspective, how important is it for the rally overall? You were citing some of the technical measures in your notes to us that there's an area of resistance at the all-time high right now. There was a time when everybody thought Apple was important for the rally. Now, has that switched over to NVIDIA? Can we break past that resistance without NVIDIA participating in a positive way?
You know, this has kind of been a single stock market, Frank. So I think if NVIDIA is not going to participate, this market is due for a correction. And we've been talking about a 5 to 10% correction in this market. And Frank, if we go back and we just look at that long-term chart again, I would just make the observation that you could see NVIDIA correct 30% and still technically be in an uptrend. That's a huge move. I don't think a lot of investors or institutions or individual investors are going to have patience for a 30% correction in a momentum stock. And that's where I think it becomes dangerous.
All right. So just for clarity for the audience, you say resistance at the all-time high of 51.57. We got to remember that the S&P and the Nasdaq, they briefly hit intraday highs before closing lower, and that was with NVIDIA having a pretty tough day. Sarah, I'm going to come back over to you. Let's talk about the fundamentals of Apple. In your notes to us, you said the weakness in China, it is an issue. It's certainly hitting revenues, but it's not the end-all be-all. But China's still about 20% of revenue overall. So give us a sense. How can we see Apple move higher without growth in China and just consistent revenue in China?
I think they're going to have to find other markets. You know, the reality is that in China, there's government pressure to not bring your Apple device to work, increasingly both in the private and public sector. And that means that people are getting different devices. And so, you know, I think that is a market that it's not been easy in China for most big tech companies, right? We forget here that Facebook is banned in China and Uber failed there. And, you know, Google is basically banned there. And these companies are doing okay without China. You just sort of have to decide, are you going to accept the headwinds there and build elsewhere? And we've seen Tim Cook spend a lot of time in India. I was a little surprised we didn't see any cameos of him at the recent Obama wedding. But, you know, we are seeing him make a real effort there because in India, they're still in single digit market share penetration. There's a huge, you know, middle class there as well to really lean into. And so I think we're going to see more of that stuff.
All right. So at the same time, you do admit, I mean, NVIDIA's overbought. RSI is well over 70 right now. We're just looking on the CNBC stock screener tool. Does that matter when it comes to this company? I mean, it does matter a lot of times when it comes to stocks, but this one, they just have something that they have a big moat on and everybody needs.
Yeah, I think that, you know, NVIDIA, they are still making chips that people need. You know, other of their peers in the Magnificent Seven make up, you know, a huge, huge amount of their revenue, double digits of their revenue every year. These are solid customers that aren't going away. I don't think that NVIDIA will have this lead over AI chips forever. There are a lot of competitors catching up and we're seeing them pop up. But at the same time, it's a solid company. And so I don't think that they're going to go away. The question is how many people who've been buying in at this insane sort of ramp up over the last year were buying into a solid company that wouldn't go away versus something that they hoped would be sort of a forever up into the right stock. And I think that that gap, that perception gap, is going to be really sort of what drives or doesn't drive the stock price over the next year.
All right, Craig, I'm going to give you the last word. Give us the technical look at both NVIDIA and Apple. Based on the technicals, which direction do you see both going?
Well, Frank, I see both of these stocks continuing to correct. And I think that the Mag 7 has become, you know, the Fantastic Four and ultimately the dynamic duo. But right now, in terms of what we see with Apple, we're seeing weakness and relative strength. We're seeing a sort of a shorter-term double top. Frank, I see another 5 to 8% downside in Apple over the near term. And then in terms of NVIDIA, it's a parabolic chart. It's really hard to continue to keep buying the stock in here. And if it was just to correct back to the long-term uptrend, Frank, this could be a 30% correction in NVIDIA. And I'm not sure a lot of people want to hear it, but that's just the reality of what the charts look like.
Craig Johnson with the Reality Check. Sarah Kuntz, great pairing. I like you two together. Good to see both of you. Have a great day. All right, time now for a check of some of this morning's top corporate stories. I also like to see Silvana Hanau on a Monday morning. Silvana, good morning once again.
Hey, Frank, good morning. Good to see you, too. Well, OpenAI's boardroom drama coming full circle. The tech startup reinstating CEO Sam Altman to its board of directors with full confidence after abruptly firing and rehiring him last November. Now, this follows an investigation into Altman by OpenAI, which concluded the ousting was a consequence of a breakdown in the relationship and loss of trust between Altman and the board. Meanwhile, NVIDIA is reportedly being sued by three authors who say the chipmaker used their copyrighted books without permission to train its NeMo artificial intelligence platform. In a proposed class action filed in a San Francisco court, the authors claim NVIDIA has admitted to using the work to stimulate ordinary written language before taking it down due to copyright infringement. And President Biden signing a $460 billion package of spending bills and avoiding a government shutdown. The six measures will keep a number of federal agencies funded through September. Lawmakers are now working on negotiations for a second package of bills, including funding the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security. The deadline for those is March 22nd, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much.
You got it.
And we're going to stick with the Biden administration, and we have a news alert for you now. President Biden's 2025 budget proposal set to be released today, and this morning we're learning some of what's expected. Megan Casella joins us now with more on some of the key proposals within the plan. Megan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. That's right. We're awaiting the release of the full Biden budget. But what we do know so far is that this is going to be a proposal that will lower costs for families, raise taxes on billionaires and corporations, and cut the deficit by some $3 trillion over the next decade. So digging in a little bit here on the spending side, the White House says it will be investing in manufacturing and clean jobs. It wants to provide national paid leave, and it'll protect and strengthen Medicare and Social Security. As for lowering costs for families, the White House says there will be investments in programs to reduce the cost of childcare, to help make college more affordable, and to make housing more accessible, in part by proposing a $400 monthly tax credit for first-time homebuyers. He also says that he'll be cutting taxes for tens of millions of low and middle income families. Speaking of taxes, we're expecting a round of revenue raising proposals here too. We're going to see a higher minimum tax on corporations, lifting that level from 15% to 21%. He'll be cracking down on corporate profit sharing and imposing a 25% minimum tax on billionaires. Now, Frank, what we don't know yet are the actual numbers attached to some of these priorities. What we're going to find out later today is how much he'll be spending overall, how much he expects to raise, and how much he wants to give to each agencies. So we'll see some estimates on how much they expect also to be spending to service the national debt. For now, what we do know is the president's priorities for the next fiscal year. Frank?
So, Megan, I have to ask, a lot of proposals on the table. How likely is all of this to actually happen?
That is the question of the day. And of course, all of this is almost certain to change. The president can say what he wants, but it's Congress who ultimately controls the purse strings. That doesn't mean it's all going to change. We know, for example, that, you know, protecting Social Security and Medicare, that tends to be a bipartisan priority despite its considerable expense. But some of the more, you know, some of the other provisions, particularly I'm thinking about the corporate tax rate and the tax on billionaires, we know those have been difficult to get through Congress before. We expect to see some difficulty there again. So we'll just have to wait and see where they end up.
All right, our Megan Casella live in D.C. Megan, great to see you. And also, just an alert for all of you out there, you want to be sure to catch former President Donald Trump. He's going to join Squawk Box. That's coming up at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Again, former President Trump on Squawk Box at 7:30. All right, coming up, making the case for what may be the biggest IPO so far this year, what Reddit's trading debut may mean for the health of the broader IPO market after a muted 2023. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up after this. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Taking a look at futures, you can see it looks like the Dow would open 85 points lower, hitting its lows of the morning. The NASDAQ holding on to positive territory, but we saw the S&P just slip fractionally lower. We're also looking at some of the laggards on the Dow. Microsoft right there at the top of the list, down almost 1%, followed by Boeing and Salesforce. All right, turn our attention now to Reddit, reportedly kicking off its IPO roadshow at the New York Stock Exchange today. The FT among those reporting, the company plans to raise as much as $748 million. That would mark one of the biggest IPOs of this year. If Reddit prices as planned, it will debut, however, at a significantly smaller valuation of $6.5 billion compared to the $10 billion reportedly estimated back in 2021. Reddit began IPO talks more than 2 years ago when IPO set an all-time record of $339 billion. That market's now well off of its highs, reaching only $26 billion last year. Let's talk more about this and the broader funding landscape with Alexander Demaul, Bain & Company partner. Alexander, good morning. Great to have you here.
Good morning, Frank. Thank you for having me.
You know, let's start off talking about Reddit. I really want to get your take. How do you view the Reddit IPO? I spent some time talking to traders and also a PE firm. They said it's a bit of a head scratcher. The question is this a social media and ad company, or is it a data company with real-time reactions from so many users over so many years? How do you see it?
So, Frank, I think it's good to take a bit of a step back on the broader private equity landscape and what's actually happening in the market and how IPO is part of kind of an exit strategy that most private equity-owned and backed companies have. In general, you showed already numbers between 2021 and 2023. Actually, IPO hasn't been that high of an exit strategy and an exit path for private equity in general. It's been, in the last couple of years, only 3% of exits have gone through that channel. So there's always kind of a little bit of pressure around kind of private equity as an exit for investors, for sure.
All right, so there's a little pressure there. So how does that shape this IPO market? Reddit's the one we're talking about now. We were just showing the audience a short time ago some of the other companies that are expected or may IPO this year.
Exactly. We see it's going to be an interesting market. This is a market that is we think is going to get unstuck. 23 has been actually a very challenging market for specifically kind of in the private equity industry more broadly and private backed assets such as Reddit. We've seen significant decline in exit activity, 44% down. And we think that this is the right environment where we're going to see a lot more of those exits coming to bear, including kind of the Reddit exit in the 10 IPO.
All right. You gave us a pretty interesting data point. You said last year there was $1.2 trillion raised by private equity companies. They're sitting on about $1 trillion of dry powder, and about a quarter of that is 4 years or older. Does that mean that they're itching to spend? I mean, exactly what does that mean?
Absolutely. If you just look a little bit at statistics, long-term private equity has actually done extremely well. It grew from $4 billion to $15 trillion, kind of category, $4 trillion to $15 trillion. Asset class. But if you just look at last year, deals were off 37% from the year before, 60% versus 2021. And so there's clearly been a lot of nervousness with the unprecedented rise in interest rates that that private equity are itching. You talk about that 26% number, that is significant. 26% of all the assets in private equity funds is actually now more than 4 years. It's assets that investors committed to them that hasn't been deployed into assets. And it's not just that money that's available to be deployed. It's also, if you look at the assets being held by private equity funds, there's now 28,000 assets, $3.2 trillion of assets.
So very quickly, Alexander, I don't interrupt you, but I do want to bottom line it. Does that mean you're expecting to see a lot of PE activity this year just because they're just sitting on so much money and they've been sitting on it for so long?
We see definitely a recovery coming this year. After the environment is right now, we start seeing green shoots of activity that is going to happen.
All right, Alexander Demaul, great to see you. Thank you very much for your time and for your insight. Thank you. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, we have the one word that every investor needs to know today. Plus, the stocks our next guest says they stand to benefit from a big defensive rotation within the markets. And if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up after this. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. It's time now for your WEX wrap-up. We start with the Biden administration reportedly urging UnitedHealth to speed up payments to healthcare providers after a recent cyber attack that's caused weaker disruptions to its Change Healthcare subsidiary. Saudi Arabia's Aramco posting a 25% profit decline and boosting its dividend by 4%. The oil giant citing lower crude oil prices and volume sold, along with reduced refining and chemicals margins. Japan avoiding a technical recession with a 0.4% increase in fourth quarter GDP. Economists are increasingly expecting the Bank of Japan to normalize interest rates as early as next week's policy meeting. The Department of Justice reportedly launching a criminal investigation into Boeing's 737 MAX blowout on an Alaska Airlines flight. The Wall Street Journal says investigators have contacted a number of passengers and crew members from that flight. And a big night for Universal Pictures' Oppenheimer at last night's Oscars. The film winning 7 awards, including Best Picture, Director, and Actor. Also, a little bonus here, Ryan Gosling completing the other half of Barbenheimer, performing I'm Just Ken from the Barbie movie. No Oscar luck there, however. Best song went to Billie Eilish, making her the youngest person to ever win 2 Oscars. All right, here's what to watch in the week ahead. Price pressures in focus with the latest looks at CPI, PPI, and consumer sentiment data. We also get earnings from Oracle, Kohl's, Adidas, Lennar, Dick's, Adobe, and Ulta. Investors are preparing to kick off the new trading week with all 3 major indices coming off of losing weeks. Taking a look at futures right now, a bit of a mixed picture right now. We've been looking at them all morning and seeing some movement. Looks like the Dow would open about 70 points lower, the NASDAQ firmly in the green, the S&P ticking, back into positive territory. For much more, let's bring in Sam Stovall, CFRA Research Chief Investment Strategist. Sam, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning, Frank.
All right, so give us a sense, Sam. How do you see today shaping up? What's your WEX word of the day?
Well, my WEX word of the day is rotation. We've been seeing over the past week rotation out of the previous high flyers of communication services, consumer discretionary, and tech into the underperformers, the defensive sectors of consumer staples, energy, and utilities. So I think that is likely to be running its course.
All right. So you're mentioning that defensive shift. You ended on utilities. Utilities actually the best performing sector last week. What does that signal to you when it comes to the momentum trade that's really powered the market over the last year and change, where mega cap tech, whether you call it the Mag 7 or the Fantastic Four, have really been the drivers of the market?
Well, I think investors are still willing to invest in the market, but I think that they, in a sense, are hopping from one overpriced lily pad to another that is underpriced. Right now, utilities are trading at a fairly sharp double-digit discount on a relative PE basis to the S&P 500. They offer high dividend yields and certainly some modest growth potential, and so a good place to hide out in the near term as the market goes through what I think is a traditional digestion of gains following the recovery of the prior bear market of 2022.
You know, Sam, you're really focused on valuation. We're going to get to your picks in a minute. Your picks are partly based on valuation. So when we're looking at valuation, you and honestly many people on Wall Street are looking at the market being toppy, frothy, whichever word you want to use. How important is tomorrow's CPI read? How important is the idea that we're definitely going to get those 3 cuts to the overall market and even the price action that we're seeing today?
Well, I think that CPI is something that investors will be focusing on. Our expectation is we probably will see a bit of a back up to growth of 0.4% versus last month's 0.3%. You remember that we did end up having a sharp decline after last month's CPI report. I think in the end, the longer term trajectory will still be downward for inflation. And as a result, the Fed will continue to, be slower to lower interest rates. So they'll do so for the first time in June, 11 months after the last rate hike, which is traditionally the time span between those two. And then we'll probably see a 3 total rate cuts in 2024 before getting additional ones in 2025.
Okay. So does higher for longer, does that continue to put pressure on the idea that these high valuations are just too high in your mind?
I think it certainly adds concern that the longer the Fed waits to start cutting interest rates, the increase of the likelihood that we could end up with a recession, even if it is fairly mild. Right now, I think the recession is off the table, but the longer the Fed waits to start to ease interest rates, I think is increasing investor concern.
All right, let's get to some of your picks. We're going to show them right now. One of them's Walmart. The other one is a utility. We mentioned utilities, the best performing sector last week. And you're saying that part of the reason why these are your picks is that their valuations are off their highs.
Yes. Well, being a fairly conservative guy, I guess I like to say that I wear both a belt and suspenders. So I look to those stocks that have good fundamental outlooks as well as good technical considerations. So from the CFRA equity analysts, these stocks, Walmart being one on the screen right now, is a company that has a favorable investment recommendation along with a good Lowry power ratings. So looking at fundamentals and technicals. Here is other companies would be information in the AEP, American Electric Power, also taking a look at Targa Resources, which is a transportation firm. So essentially, these are companies that have good upside fundamental potential that are being supported by good technicals.
All right, Sam Stovall, always great to see you. Thank you very much. Your picks for us, Walmart, American Electric Power, also Targa Research Resources, I should say. Thank you again. All right,
one
quick look at futures before we let you go. As we mentioned, a bit of a mixed picture throughout the morning. We've seen a lot of movement. Looks like the Dow would open up about 80 points lower. Squawk Box coming up next. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.